Let me set the record straight for a minute. Hate, I get it. Say it with him. I don't give a f- I'm cool with it. Play a peep the fans with him.
Make sure your battery's charged and you have a drink, because it's time for the Hot Stove, the top Twitter space in the Canadian Premier League, brought to you by Capital City Supporters Group. Tonight, we're going to look back briefly on last Friday's 1-1 draw with Cavalry FC, and then turn to our upcoming matchup against Forge FC at home at TD Place this coming Friday. My name is Josh Lemoyne. I'll be your host this evening, and I'm joined by fellow CCSG member and regular co-host on the Hot Stove, Christian Schubach. Christian, great to be with you again here on the Hot Stove. How are you tonight?
Pretty good, you know, nothing to complain about. Still sitting top of the league, looking forward to some more Atleti football this weekend.
That's never a bad thing. Some quick housekeeping before we dive into it. If this is your first Hot Stove, here's a quick breakdown of how the show works each week. We have two hosts who introduce and discuss some of the questions about the week's upcoming matches before turning to the audience for their thoughts, opinions, and hot takes. Instead of calling in, though, if you'd like to talk, we ask that you raise your hand, hit the request to talk button in order to join in on the conversation. Raising your hand lets us know that you have something to add on whatever topic we might be talking about, in order to ensure that we hear from everyone and that we don't put folks on the spot too much.
For 2024, the Hot Stove will be live every Wednesday at 8 p.m. For any other updates, be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Capital City SG.
And if you happen to miss the Hot Stove, have no fear, because we are now going to be posting the Hot Stove as a podcast on all your favorite podcast platforms. Thursday mornings, make sure to check them to listen to the recorded Hot Stove from the night before. Now, before we get into the show, we have a few announcements to make.
Do you love Atleti, but don't feel you're as involved as you could be? There's a solution. Become a CCSG member today, where $20 gets you access to our members-only Discord, which includes first access to a lot of insider information, road trips, exclusive merch, and more. And if you're a student, you get a $5 discount, bringing you down to just $15 for the year. If you are already a member, make sure to regularly check our members-only page on our website and to check the announcements channel on our Discord for the latest.
Such a good deal. And while you're on the website, be sure to check out all the latest from our writers team. We have the Forward Press, which summarizes all pre- and post-game pressers, match day in review for those days you want to relive or that you missed, and of course, the return of our weekly player ratings, which are a must-read so you can see how each player did on the day.
And the writers aren't the only ones cooking up content. Our social media team has been working very hard, as has the team that puts together full time, who have new episodes every Thursday following our Atleti home games to share reactions from our fans after each match. Harry connected with some interesting characters following the last home game against York, so find that on YouTube and make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any. And then there's also ATO, After the Whistle, which is our weekly podcast breaking down the game of the week for you and answering your questions. This week's episode dives into the clash between Ottawa and Calgary, with hosts Johnny MacArthur and Joey Huneau continuing to offer very insightful thoughts on each performance.
And just a quick note on ATO, After the Whistle, for this week. It's actually going to be dropping on Friday, so you have something to listen to before the game to get you amped up for this week's game. And finally, the Glebe Central Pub is CCSG's home pub for the 2024 season. Join us there all season long for pregame, postgame, and at our watch parties, where there'll be pregame fun and always great conversations. We will be there this Saturday for the Copa America matchup between Canada and Chile. We will also be there for the rest of the Euros, Olympics, and Copa America, which includes watch parties for every Canada game. That's at Glebe Central Pub, 779 Bank Street, Ottawa's Temple of Football.
We were also there to watch the game against Peru, where Ottawa got their first win in the Copa America.
Yeah,
course. But buddy. Also, another reminder that if you'd like to talk today, please hit the request to speak button to join in on all of the fun and raise your hand if there's a topic that we are tackling that you'd like to chime in on.
Okay, before we get into it, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't start the show by acknowledging that less than a week ago, the world lost a Atletico legend and just an incredible human being in Dylan Pauly. Dylan was the starting keeper for Ottawa in 2021 and backstopped FC Edmonton the 2 years prior to that. In his year in the capital, Dylan quickly became a fan favorite. He's immortalized by his famous dub jump. And I think a lot of us were really lucky in that we were able to get to know him at least a little bit, as he was, you know, he was very generous with his time with fans. If you did get to chat with him, you knew right away he was kind, he was intelligent, and just a really decent, good guy. He was just 27 years old, gone way too soon. Dylan, wherever you are, we're thinking of you, thinking of your family and loved ones right now. We miss you, buddy. Now, Christian, we do need to move on and talk about some Atleti who are coming off a 1-1 draw against Cavalry. Cavalry scored early in just the second minute off a corner, but Ottawa drew level before the half off yet another Alberto Zapater header. I think we might need to get some insurance on that man's forehead. It was a pretty entertaining match overall, and to me, it was a good result against the Cavalry side that looks like they should be better than their current standing, sitting sixth on the table, but they just can't stop splitting points with 8 draws so far in 11 matches, which it just boggles my mind. What do you think of the match?
Before I talk about the match, I would like to just mention that I wasn't in Ottawa when Dylan Pally was an Atletico player, but the reaction to the news, just everyone pouring out their huge outpouring of support for his family after the losses, it really says a lot about his character and how much he was appreciated here in Ottawa. But before the thoughts from last week, I want to give the floor to Bryce, who I think I saw his hand shoot up.
Yeah, I just wanted to say a little bit more about Dylan. Because if you didn't know Dylan was huge in speaking out about the Players Association. He was a big deal in getting the PFA recognized by the league. He was very outspoken about that. Dylan also lost his brother to mental health issues 14 months ago. And after that happened, he became an outspoken critic for mental health issues and did a lot of things to do, especially in Alberta, to raise money for foundations that were supporting that kind of work. He was an incredible, incredible person. And one story for me is there was during the Island Games, he played a game and he let in a couple maybe he shouldn't have let in. And I, as a jokester I am, I photoshopped a little picture of him in net, and I gave him a hat and a cape, and I made him into a little matador. And I pondered on Twitter if maybe the team had spent too much preseason in Spain. And then at the end of the year party, the season ticket holder party, I was there. I was talking with some other people, and Dylan was there. And someone mentioned, "Yeah, this guy's Candyman on Twitter," and instantly he was angry, and he's like, "I'm still mad at you from 5 months ago when you posted that picture." So, but from then on, we were great communicating with him a lot of the time, and he's going to be missed. I was really hoping to see him back in Ottawa someday as a coach or as an official. He was working at both those things in Alberta, and I'm just gutted that he's gone.
Bryce, we'll keep it with you. Thank you for your words. Yeah, obviously, rest in peace to Dylan Pally, but.
We'd like here. To... I think we just started to touch on the previous game, and yeah, so Christian, I was just wondering what your thoughts on that game were and like how that game went.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a draw against Cavalry again this year, so same thing as we saw at TD Place, but not as unlucky circumstances to get the draw. But you know, how do you beat Cavalry this year? You know, they have gotten 8 draws, like you mentioned. You know, it's I don't really think that we played our best football, certainly not this season. And you know, it's kind of hard to look at this team after the success and the highs of the early early season, but obviously we know that form isn't sustainable. But you know, happy for Zappa to see him score again, but I think that honestly, we should have gotten more for that match.
Sorry, my mic was off there. Yeah, I mean, on one point, like I agree. Like, I think we should have gotten more from that. I think we played pretty well. But something about that Cavalry team, it just feels like they're just built for draws. Like they're hard to beat, but they have a hard time, you know, hammering that final nail in the coffin and securing 3 points. So I'm, you know, considering we haven't been playing our best recently, I'll take the point. I'm a little disappointed by not securing all 3 away, but it was, you know, we played a good away match. You know, we got a point, we're still top of the table, and you know, there is nothing wrong with that. Something I want to touch on is the report that broke out 2 weeks ago that would see Sean Ray join Ottawa for the remainder of the season. And it sounds like Ottawa no surprise, needs to figure out how to fit Ray under the cap, if that report turns out to be true. They don't have that Ford special sauce to make it work right now. So if the report's accurate, that means someone eventually is going to be on the way out. So I'm going to pose a question to you, Christian, and everyone in the hot stove. So remember to raise your hand if you want to talk. What do you think is the most likely thing to happen in the near future? Do you think A, a player is going to be sold? B, a player's contract is going to be terminated in a mutual parting of ways? Or C, the move will fall through and Ray will not actually be joining Atleti?
You know, I'm going to be honest. I think the third option is the best. I don't think Ottawa needs him right now. And I think that if he were to come into the team, that the rumored player to be leaving, Ollie Bassett, is much better than him. And it's obviously hard to replace Ollie Bassett, but I also don't want to give into speculation. I'm not one to feed the rumor mill. So I'm happy with the team we have. I don't think Rea is as big a get as maybe some people are making it out to be. You know, I think he's got that CPL experience. He's got MLS experience, and maybe he'll find his feet somewhere in Spain now that there's a little bit more of a Canadian connection with Fernando Lopez heading out there. But, you know, I think that the team that we have, if there was a player to leave, certainly, you know, the main one obviously is Ollie. Which is, it's tough to say, but he's that kind of player who every season will have those kind of transfer scares, because will he, won't he? You know, he's too good for the CPL, everyone says it. So I'll say this, if it does happen, and this I think would be a more respectable scenario, maybe not respectable, but I guess it depends on if certain players, you know, like we looked at the cap space this off season, and it certainly helped that we had, I'm blanking on the name, but we had a player retire actually instead of going to another club. So it's a possibility that Maxime Tiso, I know obviously he had that one horror injury earlier in the season, and I think he's a couple weeks ahead of schedule in terms of his comeback. So maybe it's a possibility that he doesn't actually retire, but if Ollie leaves, I don't know. I don't know if Sean Ray is the player that I personally want, and I certainly don't want him in the team right now as it is.
And we got the candy man with his hand up. Bryce, what's up?
Well, I'm just going to remind people, if you don't want to keep hearing me speak, just hit that speaker button, request it. Yeah, obviously Ollie's the top of the list, because Ollie, we still think, and we know he thinks, that he has the ability to go and play somewhere else. So if that's it, that works. I don't think I agree with you, Christian, in that I don't see any upshot to Rea. But one thing is, we keep on wondering who else could take some of these, dead ball situations, some of the free kicks and the corners, especially with Tiso out. We've only really had Ollie as the person to do that. And maybe that's somewhere where Rea could actually help us. We know that, you know, we're kind of packed at mid right now. So maybe there is a midfielder that needs to leave other than Ollie. Sacco's not getting a lot of time. I don't know why, but that's not seeming to work out right now. Maybe that's another option. I don't know. I don't think that this team has found its final form. I'm not going to get into the other issues. I'm sure we're going to talk about a bit, but I think there is upshot to maybe moving things around, and, you know, maybe Ollie's getting a little tired of Ottawa. I don't know, but let's hope we find out soon.
That's an interesting thought that, Ollie's time, Ottawa might be coming to a close. But he's not the only name that you could throw out there. That there's other, top end players who, if you're thinking about a sale, who on this team would another team want to pay for? We have a few. I've heard the name Didic thrown out there. I haven't heard Aparicio's name thrown out there, but as the spark plug of this team so far this season, I could see him getting a lot of attention from teams in other leagues. Now that we've covered last weekend's match, though, let's turn to the game this week. This is our second match of the year against Forge FC after Atletico beat Forge 3-0 at TD Place on May 23rd. Forge sits second in the table at 17 points, only 5 points back of Ottawa with a game in hand. They're coming off a 2-1 win in Valor, over Valor. And this is a game with some real consequences for the CPL standings as we approach the season's halfway point. How important is it, do you think, Christian, to get a result in this match?
I'm going to borrow. Eddie's not here, so I'm going to borrow some terminology from him. Atletico Ottawa are on fraud watch, okay? We started out the season undefeated, and I know none of us thought we were going to go undefeated the whole year, but the past four games in the league, only one win, two draws, and a loss, it's not the kind of form that I see from champions, and we certainly haven't looked good in some of those draws and some of those performances. So I think that this game is a definitely a must win. And then you look further down the schedule, there's a couple tougher games further to come. So Ottawa don't have an easy schedule right now. And we need to be showing that we're going to beat these teams like we did already at TD Place. So I think that getting a win on Friday is going to be huge for the club, but I don't know if it's, looking at Ottawa's form recently, if it's going to be too sure of a win like it was last time.
Fraud watch. Okay. I mean, part of me definitely, I know where you're coming from there. I think you have to remember, though, it's only been four matches since that 3-0 win over Forge. And since then, we're, I think we can all agree, haven't played amazing. We're still 1-2-1 in our last four league matches. So we've only lost once. And that's 5 points out of a possible 12. So while playing poorly, we've still banked a few, five more points in four games, which, when you're not playing well, that's like, you take that every day. I'm not worried about it yet. I think it's just a natural ebb and flow to the season. Every team goes through it. If it went on a bit longer, I think I would start to be concerned. But to me, this is a pretty critical match, because if Forge were to take 3 points, win their game in hand, well, all of a sudden we're not top of the table anymore. So I think it's pretty critical to get a positive result in this match. Now, Christian, I'll hand it over to you.
Yeah, I'll pop that loss to Pacific into our last five games now, actually, and just to make it look worse than it actually is. But yeah, even
that's fair.
Even in those draws, we got a certain amount of luck to get those points in those games. Alberto Zapater coming in with a late 101st minute header, and kind of a miscommunication last game to get the point against Calgary. So, yeah, it's really tough. We don't look good. And I know there's just the three of us here, so I'm going to keep it short. But yeah, the 3-0, I think, at TD Place last time was too deceiving.
We've had a few strong wins that I think have skewed our perception of maybe how well we've done so far this season. And we've, in fairness, we have banked a lot more points early in the season, which is so important than we have in previous years. But yeah, I did omit that CanChamp lost to Pacific to kind of make it look a little better than maybe it is. But let's talk about this Forge side. It's obviously a side with plenty of talent. We've already seen them once in person. Who are some players to watch on their end, in your opinion, in terms of like standouts and major threats?
I think we have to look up top. It's kind of the year of CPL strikers. I think a lot of strikers are kind of finding their feet, and some players who have kind of struggled to get their footing have been finding their feet. So it's a year, I think, we got to watch out for the strikers, and I'm naming Kwasi Poku, who got a brace in his last game, I'm pretty sure, and he was good value for the performance, so I'm going to mention him. Obviously, Forge have a lot of strong players, but I'm actually not too sure. I might be tripping here. I think Bryce will be able to correct me afterwards if I'm wrong. But I think I was watching Forge's last match, and I think Tristan Borges picked up another yellow. which I think might mean he's suspended either this game or if he picks up another yellow. So I'm not too sure if he's going to be playing, but he's always a danger for them.
I think he's sitting on 4 at the moment.
Okay, perfect. Well, not perfect, but hopefully he gets a red against Ottawa.
I'm going to throw in a name, actually. Achinyodi Johnson, I think, is probably their most important player. I think he's an early contender for, CPL Player of the Year. So Forge have the best pass completion rate in the league so far. And Achinyodi Johnson he leads the league in completed passes on a team with that very high pass percentage. He's played every single minute. He's one of the main keys to their success. So he's definitely a player that I'll be watching. Another player is Chris Colongo, who I think has taken over really, really well from Tristan Henry, wherever he's gone. I think he's looked very solid. I think he's only 21, but he's looked very competent. I'm not sure that they've lost a step in net. So, he's someone who's definitely impressed on their side so far this season. Now, since beating Forge 3-0 off goals from Aparicio, Zapater, and Del Campo, I mentioned that Ottawa's cooled a bit. In league play, they're 1-2-1. Is there a player or two that you think we need to see more from, or like an area of our game that we need to see get better?
You know, I'll definitely mention it, and I'll say tactics before. I want to get to Bryce, because I'm sure he'll be able to mention some danger men about Forge, and maybe if we should be worried about them. But yeah, I'll say tactics, you know, especially up top, figuring out who we're going to start, striker and on the wings. It's a tough, it hasn't been the main rotation that I've been struggling with has been the starting striker, you know. Obviously maybe Ruben Del Campo need a little bit of a break, and Sam Salter had to step in, but getting Sam Salter off the bench, I think, is beneficial for the team this year. And also maybe bringing in a different winger, Danny Morer or Gabby Antonoro on the wings for Tabla or whoever, you know. I think that there's a lot of coaching changes that could be made in terms of personnel. That's what I'll say.
Sure, Coach, if you want me to jump in. When it comes to Forge, I think the person that you have to worry about the most is the guy that probably still has Tristan locked up in his basement, and that's Bobby. You know, he is a good coach. As much as we hate him, he is a good coach. I don't think that they're going to be fondly remembering their last game at TD Place. I think he's going to have them ready to go in this one on Friday night. And I think that's what we need to worry about, is our team getting a good start in this game. It's been 2 games now with no goals scored in front of the dub at TD Place. Yes, there have been 3 goals, but they weren't in front of the dub. That's something that was happening last year, and it seems to be happening again. So hopefully we bring the noise. We bring some energy to the team this week and get a good start, because I know that Forge is going to be prepared to play against us. They won't have that midweek game to make them tired as they had before that game the last time they were here. So we got to be ready to go on Friday.
That's a great point. You know that they remember that last game, and they're going to be coming out firing from the opening kickoff for sure. Christian, I think it's time for an announcement break.
I think so as well. Don't forget, if you have been enjoying the podcast and all the content that we produce, to follow us on all our socials at Capital City SG. We have tons of information that is shared, as well as great videos, clips, and content. So make sure to follow our socials to keep up to date with everything ATO and CCSG, and to enjoy the best our social team has to offer.
Become a CCSG member today. $20 gets you access to our members-only Discord, where we find information earlier than most people do. First access to road trips, exclusive merch, and more. And if you're a student, you get a $5 discount, so $15. And if you're already a member, make sure to regularly check our members-only webpage and to check the announcements channel on our Discord for the latest in CCSG news.
It is still June, so it is a reminder that we have also partnered with Pride Raiser again this Pride Month in order to raise funds for Kindspace, a community center here in Ottawa that offers resources, events, social, and educational programming. Their work celebrates, supports, and prioritizes oppressed sexual orientations, gender identities, and expressions. We currently have $37 per goal pledged and are looking to get closer to the $100 mark. So every pledge helps. And this team has not been left off the score sheet this season. And, you know, we've got quite a decent amount of goals already this month. So we're looking to make a serious impact. Don't forget to find the link on all our socials.
And of course, join us at the Glebe Central Pub for the pregame pints, chats, and watch parties. We're going to be there this Saturday. They'll get there early to get your spot. And we will be there for all Copa America, Olympics, and Euros matches. The GCP is CCSG's home pub for the 2024 season, and we hope to see you all there. That's at Glebe Central Pub, 779 Bank Street. And now back to the show. Now, Christian, I don't want to bring this up, but it's not going to go away until it's addressed. U21 minutes. I can hear everyone on the hot stove groaning, and I get it. No one wants to hear about it. But I crunched some numbers. The last 17 matches of the season, we need to get 1,554 more U21 minutes. That's now more than 90 minutes per match. And I don't know what our minute count was at this stage in the season when it was an issue in 2022. I don't know if someone's able to find that out. But right now, it's not a great situation we're in. Antinoro gave us less than 30 U21 minutes against Cavalry. Christian, we were worried in 2022, but Cargo managed it perfectly in the end. Should we be getting worried now?
I think we should, actually. You know, obviously, it's a better team we have this year than last year, so the opportunities that the younger players are going to get are going to be more limited. And we're over a quarter of the season in, and we don't have a quarter of the minutes needed. You know, I think we've obviously banked a lot of points right now, but we don't want to be in a position where come the end of the season where we're fighting for points and we have to start players who might be good enough for the CPL, but maybe not good enough for championship aspirations. You know, I don't want to have to give them starts just because they need them. So I'm definitely looking for more under 21 minutes. And, you know, Antinoro has been obviously our main provider, but that midfield is quite stacked. Even if you bring in a player like Sean Rea, Antinoro stays further down the pecking order, you know, and our defense, it's looking quite good that our back line is healthy so far this season. You know, we've had two really strong center back pairings. And we also have the arrival of Lieberman Torres. You know, I think he's played a lot better in his second game than he had his first. So I think it's time to give players like Antinoro a little bit more of the keys, you know. We have to look at the attack, and I don't want to harp on him too much because don't know what's going on with him. But Balu Tabla, you know, he's been struggling a bit this season. So I think a player like Antinoro to come in and steal that spot is the perfect thing for him, and maybe challenge him, push him a little further.
So I think Antinoro is kind of our Bau this year, in that like he's getting minutes because he's earning them. He's good enough to be in the starting lineup. I don't see him getting minutes because they're U21 minutes. I just see him getting minutes because he's contributing. But even if we rode him 17 matches straight, full 90 minutes, that's not enough to make the U21 a requirement. So I think that, you know, a U21 loan is in all likelihood in our future. But I think we do need to start getting minutes for both Tier Walker and Zach Roy. I think Tier has, I don't think he quite has 90 yet. And Zach, I think he has less than 20 minutes so far this season. You know, I think we need to start finding opportunities to get all three of the players that we have right now minutes of Tier and Zach. Like, who would you prefer to have on and get kind of like the majority of those, I'll call them secondary U21 minutes?
Yeah, I'll also specify that I definitely think Gaui is getting the minutes he deserves on merit. It's more players like Zach Roy and Tier Walker that I'm a bit worried about coming into the back line, but not worried per se, because I think they're both good players. But we saw him step in for, an injured Amir Didic at one point. But Tier Walker, yeah, I'd love to see him start more, get some more chances, more opportunities, because that starting those games, that's definitely building confidence. And I think that maybe Luke Singh is a bit more of a realistic target to displace in the team than someone like Chris Twardek.
I totally agree with that. I think, you know, if you can get Tier beside Didich, I think that's a really good way to kind of bring Tier along, you know, especially if you can start getting him in for, you know, say the first half or, you know, final 30, you know, something like that, just getting him consistent minutes on the pitch, because he's not getting it yet. But when he has been on, personally, like, I don't think he's been totally out of place for the most part. I think his first time on the pitch, he's a little shaky, but he's been on a few more times since then, and I thought he looked pretty confident, pretty with it, you know, wasn't out of place. I'd really like to see Tier get a lot more consistent time. And I'm hopeful that will happen. Like, all three were in the lineup against Cavalry. So that does make me hopeful that they think that, like, obviously they're confident in, you know, Antinoro. I've been worried about what they think of Roy, but the fact that he made the trip, that gives me a bit of confidence that, you know, hopefully maybe they'll both start getting some minutes there. I was a little surprised that it was only Antinoro that came on, but you know, they left a sub on the shelf. So yeah, I'm hopeful that, you know, a loan won't be necessary, but I won't say no to a loan either.
Yeah, I also, oh, sorry, my bad.
No, go ahead.
You know, I also want to kind of harp on maybe a bit more the team planning that we looked at. You know, obviously we had the U Sports draft and we picked Piccioli, great player, and obviously a great fit here in the team in Ottawa with a couple of former Ravens players. But, you know, obviously the draft is a funny thing, but a lot of teams this year are taking advantage and signing exceptional youth talent to their roster with that exception. So we saw a player coming on against us last weekend, Shannon Chanda against us. So, you know, I think that's also maybe not a loan, but something that we could explore, find an exceptional youth talent that isn't already signed to a club. You know, anyone have a younger brother?
Man, I would love an update on where Piccioli is at, because to be honest, totally forgot about him. Totally forgot.
I could tell you that. I think he sits in section closer to the away fans section. I sat behind him one game, so he's not on the bench.
I've seen him walking around the concourse a few times. Yeah, I would like to see him involved too. I thought, you know, when he was playing with Carlton, you know, I thought he seemed like a guy who could make a pretty quick transition to the CPL, but, you know, he's a midfielder as well. Like, I don't see how you bring him in at this point.
My hand's up, so I'm just going to jump in.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm also going to say that, like, Luca is a U Sports player, so it's very possible that he's not going to be on the team in a month. So if you do want minutes from him, we better see them soon. And I was a little hopeful because on the socials of their practice today, they put on a shot, and it was Luca and Antinoro in practice. So we know he's still going hard with the team during the week. But he hasn't been on the bench yet, so I don't know where that's at either. I'd like this loan idea. I'm wondering, I don't think that the podcast has recorded yet, because they're going to drop on Friday. So maybe we'll have to send in a late mailbag question and just ask Joey which Canadian players might be playing in other leagues and be available for a loan. I wonder if there's any in Spain that might be available.
Oh, great call. I love that. Okay, so Christian, Ottawa scored early in their last match against Forge, a banger from Aparicio, and they were on the front foot for most of that game. What do you think are some of the keys for Ottawa getting a result this time around?
You know, I'll start it off. I think it was kind of a lucky goal, because you look at the build-up play that occurred before. You know, Ottawa were in the box, like, pretty much up until that goal started, from kickoff till the 13th minute when that went in. You know, it was... It was a good result for us, but definitely I think our key this year has been finishing some chances in the first half, because getting off to a good start is definitely key for the team this year. But you know, I don't think that we're gonna kind of have that abundance of chances that we had that first game. You know, you look at the play that led up to that Antenora or that Aparicio shot. It was a bunch of deflections, a half-hearted clearance, and that. So, you know, we can always count on sloppy play, but we can't always count on our attack coming together. So, I'll just say that, you know, it's a bit of a conundrum. You know, it's a movable object meets a stoppable force.
Absolutely. I will add that, you know, one thing I noticed in the last game is how little space Ottawa gave Forge. Like whenever a Forge player received a pass, there was an Ottawa player on them immediately. So they had to move that ball around very, very quickly. And I think that's what you got to do. I'd be curious to know what their pass completion rate was for that match. Because I wouldn't be surprised if it was lower than their average, because Ottawa just was constantly on them. Now, the last time I checked the forecast for Friday, it's going to be in the evening, and it wasn't going to be too hot, not like the Canada-Peru match. So, you know, hopefully they can spend that energy that they need to just constantly press them and just kind of be right in their face. Bryce, do you have any thoughts on how Ottawa can get a result this match?
Just what I mentioned earlier, I think they need to come out of the gate hot. I think they need to start hot. It also wouldn't hurt if they finish the game shooting towards that west end in front of us. They also haven't done that very much this year. Maybe that's the problem towards scoring in front of us. I don't know. I just think they have to be prepared. They have to be ready. They have to come out real early. And I'm hoping they score a goal in the first 20 minutes, because that'll put us at ease. But I think we're going to be under fire early in this game. I think Nathan's got to be on top of his. But, you know, it's a Friday night game. We don't get a lot of those. We get to go hard because we've got three nights to recover, because it's a long weekend. So, I mean, there's no reason to not have a good time this Friday night.
Absolutely. And I see Thomas Stockton on the hot stove right now. So, Thomas, if you could just pass that along, just a few extra shots maybe in front of the dub this game. We are coming to the end of the show this evening, and I'm battling a cold. So it's just fine with me to wrap up a little bit early. So let's turn to some score predictions and which players you are all most excited to see on the pitch on Friday. Christian, let's start with you.
You know, I'm gonna play it safe. I think it's going to be a 1-1 draw. And I'll name two players I'm most excited to see. I think the goal scoring is going to come from Del Campo, and the assist is going to be provided by Zapater. They're going to link up just like they did in the last game, but reverse it with Zappa paying back RDC with a little bit of love. So yeah, I'll go with 1-1.
I like it. Bryce, do you have any predictions?
No, just give you a reminder, as is my custom now, I will drop a preview of this week's TIFO in our Discord for anybody that's listening. I'm going with a 2-2 final at home on Friday night. I'm still looking for Mateo to get his first of the year. That guy has no quit. He needs to get it. I hope he gets it at home. So I'm going with him to score one. And then I also like RDC for the other couple of young guys getting us that 2-2 draw.
I like it. And I'll throw in a prediction. I was thinking maybe splitting points, but just to be different, I'm going to say Ottawa takes it 2-1 with goals by, I'm going to say Salter's going to bag one. And I know set pieces have been just abysmal for the most part. And I know that they've been working on those. I'd love to see a Didich header off a corner. So I'm going to say Didich takes one. Okay. And I think that's going to wrap things up for today. Follow us on our socials at Capital City SG. A lot of news and content is dropping all the time, and you don't want to miss a beat.
If you're not a member yet, what are you doing? Don't forget to become one by visiting capitalcitysupporters.com. $20 for the year, $15 if you're a student, and you'll get access to member-exclusive events, merch, road trip, Discord, and you'll be there to find out the news first. And if you are a member, make sure to regularly check our membership page on our website and our announcements channel on Discord for the latest.
And you get previews of TIFOs. I mean, it's $20. Do it. While you're on the website, be sure to check out the latest from our writers team. We have the Forward Press, summarizing all pre- and post-game pressers, match day in review for those days you want to relive or that you missed, and of course, our weekly player rating so that you can see how each player did on the day.
Check out the ATO podcast, the best way to spend your Tuesday morning. Well, maybe this Friday morning is by listening to our beloved host break down the past Atletico Ottawa game. Their last episode covers the cavalry draw, so be sure to check out all your favorite podcast platforms for ATO After the Whistle.
And of course, GCP is your home for pre- and post-game drinks after a day of football action. Join us at 779 Bank Street for drinks before and after the game and for all of Copa America, the Euros, and the Olympics. Canada's last Copa group stage match is Saturday, and it's a critical one if they're going to make it to the knockout stage. Make sure to get there early. That's at Glebe Central Pub, CCSG's home pub for the 2024 season, and Ottawa's Temple of Football.
Also, be on the lookout for a chance to star in CCSG's latest show, Full Time, under the Jumbotron at the end of every home game. The videos will drop on our YouTube channel, which chronicle the reactions of every ATO fan after the home game. So be sure to join Harry to share your thoughts, and be on the lookout tomorrow for the latest episode. Latest episode's already out, but be sure to join him there after the Friday game.
Be on the newest episode. That wraps it up. Thank you so much for listening and joining in the conversation, and we hope to hear from you again next week. Christian, send us off.
Vamos at Letty. Have a good night, everyone.
Have a good night.